Hello, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 7 of the Virtual Coffee Podcast. Hey! I'm Becca, and this is a podcast that features members of the Virtual Coffee community. Hey! Virtual Coffee is an intimate group of developers at all stages of their coding journey, and they're here on this podcast sharing their stories and what they've learned. And we're here to share it with you. Here with me today is my co-host, Dan.
Thanks, Becca. In this episode, we talked with Narando Johnson, a full-stack developer and, in my mind, a living, breathing ray of sunshine. Narando shared some of his experiences running free code camp meetups in Atlanta, learning through hackathons, and his approach to learning in general as a developer. Becca and I also decided on his next endeavor, socialization as a service for introverts at tech events. It was a true delight, as always, to spend some time with Narando, and I know you're going to enjoy it.
We start every episode of the podcast like we start every virtual coffee. We introduce ourselves with our name, where we're from, what we do, and a random check-in question. Today's question is, you're going to sail around the world. What's the name of your boat? We hope you enjoy this episode. Hey, I'm Becca. I'm a front-end developer from a small town in Ohio. And if I was going to sail around the world, my boat's name would be, I think I would probably go with the name of my first pet, which was a hamster named Starscraper to the Highest Moon. And that would be my boat's name too.
Second appearance of Starscraper, I feel like, on the podcast. Do we have any pictures of Starscraper?
I don't think I have any pictures of Starscraper.
All right, well, we'll have to dig it up. All right,
Go for it.
Hi, my name is Dan. I'm a front-end developer from Lakewood, Ohio. And if I'm going to sail around the world with a boat, somebody asked a boat-related name, you know, boat naming thing on Slack, I think, a while back. And I came up with Float None, which is a CSS joke that I was just giggling to myself about for the rest of the day. And so I'm sticking with that. Float colon none is my boat name.
Hi, my name is Narando. I call myself a level 1.5 full stack developer out of Atlanta. If I was going to sail around the world with a boat, what would the name be? Yeah, I'd call it Almost There. So every time you ask me, where am I? Almost there.
That sounds familiar. I like that.
All right.
That is awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here with us today. We're really excited to talk to you. And we always like to start with the origin story. So how did you get to this point? What is the backstory of Narando?
So there's a 15-minute version, the 5-minute version, and a 3. I'm going to give you the 3. So because I talk so much, in my teens, my mom sent me off to Teachers College in the Caribbean. So I started teaching when I was 19, because I'm one of those kids who are way too smart for anything. So I became a professional teacher at 19. Along the way, I discovered that my students learned way more when I put them in front of a computer than I actually stand in front of a class and teach them. So I'm like, all right, cool. I start making like drag and drop games for them. And I hit like 28. I was like, yeah, I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. A couple of other stuff happened. And I'm like, you know what? Let's make a shift. Because I lived in Jamaica, but my family lived here. My mom says, if you want to, make a move. I'm like, all right, cool. Give away everything, sell everything, move. Being here, the MOOC world was a big thing. CS50 was a thing. And I am like, I was always a techie guy. I also have a background as a computer. I'm a trained computer repair technician. So I've always like had like small programs to like fix and build stuff. But the code was always like there. I've been running Linux since like 2010. Like Ubuntu was my thing, and I've made stuff, I fixed stuff. I'm like, it was always cool. But the code was always there. And I'm like, you know what? Let's go learn this. HTML and CSS was fun. And then JavaScript promptly decided to drop me on my face and reminded me that I have no idea what the hell am I doing.
Sounds familiar.
while doing all of this, I mean, FreeCodeCamp came out, like the first version came out. I'm like, ooh, this is cool. Went to my first meetup, fell in love with it. That group canceled. I moved to my second meetup group, which was in the Sandy Springs area of Atlanta. This is like 2017. Met some cool people, and I never dropped the habit. I'd always want to drop it because it's frustrating, but I've never dropped the habit after that. Did some community work with one of our other members, became good friends with a lot of people. Did some community work with like one of my friends called Mark Noonan. I don't know if he's a guy who should be on this next. He can tell the other, awesome. He can tell the other side of the story. I've done a hackathon. I got a scholarship to go to Flatiron. That was interesting, like the whole nine yards. And I eventually got to the place of like, did the bootcamp experience, failed along the way, got back at it, finished the bootcamp, went through the job search. My last place was Warner, but COVID decided to take back my job from me. So I'm currently hunting right now. So yeah, bearing in mind along the way, I almost learned to code in high school. College ones, because all my friends learned to code. I didn't. When I was teaching, there was a program that came up. I never took it, but every time coding came up, I stepped away because I was more interested in other things. So the last time it came up, I'm like, yeah, we're going to take this.
Nice. Were you online for Flatiron or did you go to campus?
In person. Dear God, in person. It was good.
Yeah, I always was curious about that because I did their online self-paced program and it always seemed interesting to be able to like go on campus and see other people and to have those conversations. But it wasn't available around me. And also I didn't have that availability either.
Mm-hmm. In person is a whole different experience because it tends to be at any one time you have two cohorts on campus back then. When you were doing the first module, you had three. But it was always like, it was collaborative. It was a lot of people going crazy. You saw that you weren't the only person losing your mind trying to learn so much stuff at one time. Yeah, stuff like that. But it was good.
I feel like that's a really important part of the process because when you're isolated in learning, there's nobody else to kind of compare that to. And so having that, I don't know if it's community support or at least that recognition that like, oh, other people are really struggling right now too. There's that this weird feeling of, okay, I feel good that everybody's struggling, right? Like,
Yeah. I mean, learning collaboratively while learning for yourself is helpful because the emotional support is there and you get to ask questions because some parts of it you get, but some parts you don't get and you get to ask like instructors or TAs or your classmates. So, yeah.
So you mentioned Mark Noonan and we were in a virtual coffee one day and we were talking about like how to stay motivated. And he said, you need a Narando because he makes sure that I stay on top of these things. And I thought,
well. All right. So the joke around that is that Mark's been my friend since God. It's 2021 now, so I think 2017, 2018, we got to be really good friends through a hackathon. And because I have a teacher's background, it kind of helps me literally go stay on task and get it done. So Mark's like, oh, pretty butterfly. I'm like, you are not the dog from Up. You do not have a squirrel moment. Focus. He's like, but no, I want to. I don't care. And he's like, but you don't know how to write the code. I'm like, no, but if I put you here long enough, we'll get it done. He goes, I hate you. But yeah, to this day, I'm still learning how to be better focused at stuff, but it's a continuous progress and project for me. Because like the one thing that nobody really tells us as human beings is that you have finite time to do anything you want. Not infinite, finite. Like you have this amount of years before your body stops working or your mind goes and you've got to get all this done before then. But we keep thinking we have all the time. No, you don't. So yeah.
Okay, so you've been involved in a lot of different things and you talked about being involved in FreeCodeCamp already, hackathons, and in boot camps. And so I'm curious, like what were some of the lessons that you learned there, but also what were your favorite experiences?
So you say hackathon, boot camp. All right.
Free code camp.
So let's start with free code camp because that's where it's all begun for me. Free code camp taught me that A, learning in a community is really good for you. The operation sides of running a meetup is way different from just talking because, like, I learned and I'd be there and I'd learn stuff. When I start running it, I'd learn for like 15 minutes because I'm walking around, talking to people, breaking the ice, so on and so forth. And at the same time, I'm really good at making connections because then I've learned over the years at Freecode, like, we have a lot of teachers, former teachers. We have a lot of former musicians, which is weird to me. And we tend to have like 40% left-handed people as developers, which is...
I always wanted to be left-handed.
The trick is that I'm left-handed, so I notice it. Like, we have a lot of left-handed people. So those are the experiences I learned there. Like, some people will come, learn the code, want to be a developer. Others will learn it, want to be a developer, and then go, hey, this is not for me. And you should be... That's okay. You will have hobbies. Like, I learned how to deal with moms with children. Like, that's a whole nother thing I've never had to think of. I learned how to do with people who can come for an hour because they're running Lyft or they're working on a Sunday and that's all they can do. I learned how to support people online. Like, stuff like that, I learned how to do. I'm still learning, but those are the things I learned. Hackathons. The myth of thinking you can't create something from an idea over 24 hours is not true. How good it is the total different ball game, but you can do it in 24 hours filled with the right set of people and coffee and no sleep and Red Bull. Martha's hackathon was one of the best experiences I've ever had. I still have pictures of all the food they put on the table. And one of the chairmen or one of the senior guys singing karaoke at 1 o'clock in the morning. Because we were all up. But like hackathons tend to, I encourage everybody, even if you're not confident, hey, I don't know anything. Nobody cares. Like, honestly. Nobody in the room will care because you will have something to contribute.
I love that.
Let's jump back to Free Code Camp for a minute because I think that's really interesting. So you attended two different Free Code Camp meetups, but you also ran Free Code Camp meetups, right?
I'm still running it. We're slowed down because of COVID, but yeah.
Is that Free Code Camp Atlanta?
Yes, it's Free Code Camp Atlanta. We have like a Facebook group that we use that we do like once a month we have like a check-in. I'm trying to go a little bit bigger, but I kind of have a lot of other things going on. So I'm trying to just slow down for a minute. Hopefully by the end of this year, next year, we can start doing in-person meetups again. That would be awesome. And yes, Mecca, you should submit for in-person conferences.
That's referring to a tweet yesterday that I sent saying I'm very tempted to start submitting for in-person conferences again. I miss it. Not even speaking, just, you know, being there and having the experience.
Can you tell me a little more about what you do at the FreeCodeCamp Atlanta meetups?
All right. So our FreeCodeCamp Atlanta meetups are generally structured as in we find a comfortable place that we can all sit and have food and all of that stuff. And we just, for our use case, we sit and whatever project you're working on, you can come and ask questions and discuss it. We tend not to be structured. We've always tried going structured, but it never works out. So it's more like a group of chilled people just sitting and working at stuff. But what happens from this, though, because we have no structure, we tend to refer people to like other meetups. We tend to have people who are further ahead in your career, so you have mentorship going on. You tend to have networking opportunities where somebody say, hey, can you apply to this job because mine has an opening, bearing in mind that the opening has not been made public, but you see somebody who has the potential to go. And even if you don't pass the interview, you have the experience.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, so because Free Code Camp, like, so everybody's maybe at different, you know, different levels or whatever, and so your meetup is more of just like a almost like a support group, right?
That's what we've become.
That's awesome. That's really cool. I am also looking forward to in-person meetups becoming a thing again. You know, we had the Cleveland React meetup and it was a lot of fun. And we had, you know, there's just pizza and the same kind of thing. And went online and, you know, we're still doing meetups, but they're, I don't know, It's just so, it's so much more nice to
I think
be
we
in
all
the same room with people.
Yeah. I think we all took pizza for granted.
I still have in my notes my, like, you know, script for running the meetup about, you know, directions and pizza, you know, where the pizza is and stuff like that. Oh, man.
I think, too, one of the nice things, though, that's come from all this, like, I could never attend a meetup because I've got 4 kids and I live in a small town. But in the post-COVID world, I imagine there's going to be a really nice balance of those things and maybe even some hybrid events that are going to be happening. And I think that'll be nice to provide community for so many more people than would have had it otherwise.
I have been thinking about that too, even as a organizer, because then you see, like, it helps way more. Like, I've had friends who say, hey, I can't meet in a meetup, but if you can grab your laptop, turn on your hotspot, go in your car and sit with us for an hour, I probably could walk you through an issue you're having. And, like, you're at home, you couldn't make it, but instead of driving 30 minutes to us, bearing in mind, we've had members who used to drive an hour just to get to us, just because they like the environment. But if you can just spend the time and come, I mean, it helps.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see what happens too with all of this. There was definitely some groups experimenting with, like, sort of hybrid design stuff like that before COVID. I cannot remember what React Adelphia, that's what it is. The Philly React group was doing a lot of work with this before COVID, you know, where they were streaming. They were having in-person meetups, but they were also streaming and I think projecting. I'm not sure if they were doing this too, but like having maybe Zoom or something like that where people could sort of be sort of there virtually, you know. And there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of opportunity for some cool stuff coming on. But it really is. I mean, like, I'm same with virtual coffee, right? I mean, virtual coffee is, you know, I don't know if this was some other thing where it wasn't a pandemic, you know, but the same situation might have ended up being a local thing, you know, the Steubenville, you know, I don't know, developers meet up or something. And, you know, the exposure and the flexibility of the virtual meetups is huge, right? But well, I think a lot of people are missing the actual in-person, you know, feel of some things. I'm looking forward to the future. You know, I feel like there's a spot for all of this, all of this kind of mixed together, you know.
Becca, you had a point?
You read my face. Mm-hmm. Our initial tagline for virtual coffee was the always remote hallway track. Right? Because there's that hallway track at conferences that is just really nice because you get to meet people and, I don't know, have that support and talk to people, get that interaction. And then at some point, I mean, we are virtual coffee, but I think I hear it over and over, like, when are we all going to meet? Right? And there is something, like, very special about these friendships and the community that's been formed. And that's why I, like, really like this idea of a hybrid model, because also in person, I don't get to meet people that are on the other side of the world or in Canada even, you know? So it's nice to be able to meet those people and then, like, finding that space where you can have a physical presence, I think is going to be a really amazing thing when we get to that point.
I think, like, one of the things I learned, like, over the years, so here's a cheat code to anybody who's going to think about this. When conferences come back in, one of the easiest ways for, like, junior devs or level one developers to get into big conferences is to volunteer. I've done that at Connect Tech when it was a thing. And I don't mind the physical work because sometimes that literally, like, physical work and cooking literally is like therapy for me. So when I got my ticket, I'd get the ticket to go to the all-day conference. I've met so much people over 2-3 years just by doing that. Another thing is, like, when they have the after parties for conferences, those 1:30 conversations, they are like, it tends to be the persons who present who socialize. So you are the newbie learning from somebody who's been doing this for like 10 years. Like, I met Chris DeMars. Because I think he's been here before. I don't know if he's ever been on Virtual Coffee. But Chris DeMars, he presented. I went to his talk while at Connect Tech. And then when they had the after party, me and one of my batchmates, Tun Kine, he works for, I think, Full Story now. But we were there late. And then I met somebody, like, along the way, I developed a better relationship with this guy called Homer Gaines. Homer does accessibility. He is crazy at it. He also makes music. So I didn't know these people until then. And then I got another connection to go to another conference by meeting somebody else. Just they're like, hey, would you like to come? And I'm like, no ticket, no time. They're like, okay, we'll get you a ticket. You got to find your way there. A friend of mine then connected me to go to the conference. I'm like, my car won't make it. They're like, okay, how much do you need to rent a car? I'm like, hold on, what? They're like, you need the exposure. So it's like conferences, that helps. That's a cheat sheet right there. I'm giving away that one.
Mm-hmm. I think that's right. I mean, volunteering is great. I mean, like, that's great advice, I think, in general. And it's the same if you're helping out, you know, people are always going to appreciate it, and you know, it'll go a long way. But I actually had thinking about what you said about the, like, after parties and the late night, you know, or like the conversations outside of the events, you know. And you know, honestly, for me, those are the things that at conferences that stick in my brain the best. I was just thinking back, you know, and just sitting on like a patio of a restaurant with like Dan Zederholm and Andy Clark, and like having conversations with these people that I like look up to, you know. And I don't remember what their talks were about. You know what I mean? But I very much remember like sitting there and just soaking it up and, you know, like talking. I don't know. It's cool. I don't really have a point other than like, I was just made me nostalgic for that.
I think I have lots of thoughts now, but I will say too, there's also diversity scholarships. So if you're from an underrepresented group in tech, that's a way to get into some conferences. Some of them even pay for your travel. Sometimes they'll offer discounted tickets too. So I think that number one, recognizing if it's not doable for you, reach out to the conference organizers because there might be some way to get you there. And I think, Dan, like what you're talking about and Narando, what you're talking about, it's the idea of these personal connections that are being made there. And I love that aspect of the conference. And that's one of the things that I think I wish would go on beyond that, right? Because you have this conference, you make these connections, and then there's, at least most of them that I've been to, there's not been that like, hey, let's continue to keep up in some way. And I think that would be a really fun thing to continue to do all throughout the year, because then you grow together.
I mean, all right. There is some, like, what I've learned with for myself is how to keep up that conversation. So I have been known to not be afraid to stop people. Like, one of my friends says, one of your greatest skills is that you're never afraid to walk into a room where nobody knows you and talk to people. I'm like, I know what I need from the room. So, like, virtual coffee came to me by means of, like, posts. How should I say it? Post-COVID Warner, like when I was at Warner because of work, I needed a group. I couldn't find anywhere. And I'm like, somebody's like, virtual coffee. I'm like, virtual coffee? I'm like, okay. Hopped in, first meetup. I'm like, ooh, I like this room. And then we had Mike Rogers walk in the room and hyping the room up. I'm like, who is this dude and how shall I be his friend? And then Meg, like for me, Mike Rogers, Meg, Deborah K is like, the energy that comes to the room, and then Becca's kids were running through the background. I'm like, Mom, I'm home. Like, that was awesome for me. But to further on the conversation, is like, we don't, tech is on Twitter, and a lot of us are afraid of using Twitter for what it is. Talk to people, engage. I'm a fan of Gary Vee, and the whole conversation of like understanding who you are, what you're about. Yeah, do that. Some conferences will have like swag. Like, Becca, I'm throwing this out there. We need stickers. And also we need to get Mike. Ooh, I want one. And we also need to get Mike his official Hype Man t-shirt. I'm just saying. But we can't, like for us as developers, engage, talk to each other. Some people will be the best thing that ever happened to you, and some people will suck, and that's okay. Filter. Keep it going, because at the end of the day, developers are highly in demand, and the better off we are, like, a developer can make $250,000 easy. The trick is that you can only do one job. There'll be 50 more that you know of that needs to be filled, and you have, if you make better associates, it's better for you in the long term. So I'm just saying. Yeah, I learned about an AWS developer that makes $250,000, and my head is still hurting.
I think, well, for me too, conferences, I am super shy and an introvert, and so I get really nervous going into there. But I think if you know someone ahead of time, making sure that you meet up or have that friend person there. So, Naranda, you'll be my friend person because I'll just follow you around.
I got no problem. You're the. I got no problem with that. Believe me, I will take you in as my wingman and literally goes, oh yeah, this is Becca. You should talk to her. I literally have done this to somebody before. I'm like, this is Becca. You should talk to her. She's awesome. She runs Virtual Coffee. Here's a website. Goodbye. And she's like, why are you leaving me here? Talk, mingle. You'll be fine.
Yeah, I have that too. That's probably really why I have more fond memories of sitting like at the table, you know. It's like a little easier to kind of know what to do. I don't know. Than when you're in a large group of people, but I'll follow you guys around too.
No problem.
Just have your little line of virtual coffee people.
Yeah, Naranda's just going to be dropping us off.
Right, stay right here. Talk to all these wonderful people. I'll be back. It's like, why are you doing this? Because I can stress you out for the fun of it. The people that know me on Twitter, if they ever hear this podcast, are going to start crying. No, especially Homer is going to start laughing. I know this already.
No, I have it. This is socialization as a service. This is it.
Yes.
Start charging. Right? So you just like, you know, somebody pays a fee and then you walk them around in their conference. I love it.
Right. Socialization as a service. Like that one.
I'm writing it down.
Of course you are.
Oh man.
I needed that laugh. Oh, yeah. All right, we missed one topic, I think. Hackathons. I think the thing that stops a lot of, I'll never say junior developers because it doesn't really feel good. Level one developers from, and people who have no code experience from even trying, is because they think there's this bar there. And you have to be as good enough as this to do. As I've previously stated, I don't care. So I'll just go, okay, this is something I need to learn, or this is something I need to have an introduction to, and I'll go. This is an industry where you knowing somebody is way more important than actually knowing what you're doing, because along the way, people can help you. So it's one of them things where it's like, just go. Like, nobody cares. Just go. And you learn. Like, I learned way more than I've ever learned. Like, I made better friends. I made better connections. I learned a lot. I learned how to speak on stuff. I stood in front of a crowd of like 100 people and spoke about what we were working on. My knees didn't work properly, but I did it anyway. Because I don't like public speaking. Don't laugh. The irony is not lost on me.
What? So how many hackathons have you done?
So far, as a long process, 3. Marta, however, broke theirs up into 4, so technically it would count as 5? Yeah.
That's awesome. I've never done one. By the time I was sort of interested in them, I had kids, and it was just, I don't know, it's much harder to spend 24 hours away. And also, I'm old, and so the... Being losing sleep really messing me up too for longer than you.
Did you just drop in? I'm old really quickly.
I'm old. Yeah, I was just going to move on from that, but the recovery time from a all nighter is much worse now than it was. I had an accidental all nighter the other day and was just a horrible wreck the whole rest of the day. So it's like another hackathon related. Like, it's like, that sounds cool, but now I'm just like. I don't know. I got to think about losing all that sleep, which then I'm like, oh yeah, because I'm old. I don't know.
I think for me with hackathons, I'm more energized with what we learn and where what's going on than anything else. So I'm the guy, I need 5.5 hours of sleep to be okay. I can survive on 4. And I've done college in Jamaica, which is no fun some days. So I learned how to survive on no sleep. But hackathons really, like, they provide, like, you learn so much. Like, so much so quickly. You meet so much different people.
Yeah. I think that's cool. I've never really thought about hackathons as like, a tool for the career devs. But now that you mentioned it, I think that's a great idea because, like you're saying, you're just stuck there. So you have to learn. One of the problems that I've heard a lot from people learning is, like, I don't know, choosing what to learn or how to learn or all that stuff. And when you are stuck in a room and, you know, working with other people, you soak up the knowledge from other people, but also you're just like pointed in one direction. You don't really have, you don't have a choice. And I assume, not having done it, but I would assume that if you are a less experienced dev sitting there, then the people will help with like choosing what you should do, right? Or whatever. And kind of just have one target and move forward. It seems like a great opportunity for, people learning.
I don't know. So from that, you also learn like the other side of dev work, which is like figuring out how to build what to build quickly, figuring out what we need really quickly, figuring out like what stories to own. Like I learned how to write stories in a hackathon. I never knew about user stories before. So from hackathon, like with Marcho in Atlanta, Mark is technically the leader in this thing, and I'm his right hand, Mark Noonan. And from that, they changed policy. Like, the city changed policy. And I'm like, oh, my God. They listened to us. We worked on paratransit and how to make that better. And that got better. And then we took that and went somewhere else and entered just for the fun of it. Same concept, because we wanted more awareness to the problem we're having. That process of, like, 6 or 7 months or a bit longer. We ended up winning that hackathon, and because Marta literally made us never winning anything, we signed up an agreement between all of us to give away the money in case we won anything. The trick is that we won. Mm-hmm. We won $40,000 and gave it away. To this day, I'm still beating myself because we could have all put it in bitcoins, walk away with MacBooks, and still give away $40,000. But it's a really cool conversation to have.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, it seems like you're... No, go ahead, Dan.
I was just laughing. I don't have anything to say.
Go ahead, Dan. I know you're laughing at me. It's okay.
I was mostly just laughing at you hanging your head at the end of that story.
I'll drop the article when this is all done so you can read the article, because Mark actually wrote an article on it.
Nice.
Yeah, definitely. We'll put that in the show notes.
Definitely send that.
Okay, so you've been involved in all of these things, and I feel like you're constantly moving and you never stop. And so now you said that, I think you said, what are you, like a level 1.5 developer,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yes.
Like, and one of the things that I found is that there's not that many people that are talking about like what that means, like that stage, because I feel like it's kind of a hard stage, right? You're beyond that level 1 and you're trying to make it to level 2. And so there's these growing pains going on, but nobody's talking about those growing pains. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on that or, like what your experience has been, but I'd love to hear it.
So you want like mentally, I've had this talking. So now 1.5 for me means you have to pick up a stage of mentoring, being mentored and discipline. So you have to write about what you learn. This is not a conversation. You have to teach. You have to get better at a core stack. So if you're a Merge stack, I'm React Ruby. If you're something else, you have to get better. I will never stop emphasizing this. JavaScript is an unending, like JavaScript for me is like the 12 levels of hell, and we keep going down into it, and you're just going to have to keep going. It's cool. It's fun. It's annoying because it changes every couple of years, but you will have to get better at your core language. It's building stuff. It's walking away from tutorials, however pretty they look. It's asking way more questions. It's volunteering for stuff that you might not be ready for. It's failing horrible at something. It's asking for way more help than you're comfortable with. I have a toddler in the background. I probably should get up and go lock the door, but I'm too lazy right now. So I'm around my nephew right now. He's here. Yeah, it's his time in the morning. So it's that stage of being aware that I'm not junior anymore, but everybody will see you as junior, and that's fine. What you think in your head rules way more, and then you'll have to prove that you are there to yourself. It's collaborative coding. It's learning how to run around GitHub without losing your mind. It's learning Git like that. It's being comfortable with the terminal. It's finishing projects. It's having conversations about code. It's like when you reach a stage of having the code dream, you have arrived. I've had the code dream.
I mean, I have nightmares about testing all the time.
Yeah, I've had the code dream. It's seeing like basic stuff like elevators and literally working out how would this work in my language, my coding language. I've done it in Python and JavaScript.
I am not sure I want to get into a JavaScript elevator.
Oh, come on. It runs the internet. It's not that bad. God.
Okay, so you're doing all of these things. And that was just a ton of great advice, I want to say, first of all. Mm. But, okay, so how has this been looking for new jobs? Because you're saying, like, well, people will see you as a junior, but you're, like, really reaching for this next goal. And I imagine that's kind of where you're going in your job search, too. So has, like, that been a thing?
So the first trick I learned from job searching was by this guy called Elliot Stanford, I think his last name. So I was supposed to go to Elliot's conference and didn't make it. And we became friends and he gave me advice. So he literally goes, watch Danny Thompson's thing, optimize your LinkedIn, then walk away. For anybody who doesn't know who Danny Thompson is, we are in for a wild ride because he's awesome.
He's got a new job.
Yeah, congrats, Danny. Anyway, that now literally gets you to the place of interviewing over and over for positions that makes you, that you think you're ready for. Some you might get, some you may not get. It's annoying because everybody wants 5 years, but nobody is junior developer at 5 years experience. So first thing I learned from my days of Career Karma, because that also helped me. So my Career Karma, that was really awesome. Ruben Harris, for Orsic, Keisha Lake, who you should talk to one of these days. She was my batchmate. She's awesome.
Can you talk a little bit about what Career Karma is?
So Career Karma, if I'm to distill it to its simple essence, it provides connection to an individual, for an individual to get into tech in a variety of ways. So if you're a developer, if you're a software engineer, if you are a data scientist, if you want to get into tech sales, which I learned was an actual thing a couple months ago, they will match you to probably the right school for you. They'll even help you find funding if needed or find a proper agreement for you to go to school, because you have some schools that do ISAs. Some have really good ISAs, some suck. And but they will help you find the right place for you. So that's one part. I think I was one of the first persons out of the group, first like good batches to actually like really work with them, and I got the help I needed. So yeah. And it's not lost on me that because of them, like I went to Flatiron, I had a full ride scholarship. Like all of those community work that I did helped. They also helped me find other funding to do other stuff. I'm like, that was cool. So that helped. So like with all of that now, it's like, you know, a lot of things. That's all I got off the top of my head.
That was really great. And so how is this kind of pushing you into that next stage of job that you're looking for?
I just classify it as work. So it's the discipline to finish the stuff, to get better at algorithms, to own my truth, to be able to walk into the room and going, hey, I am great at this, this, and this, but I'm not great at this, but I can learn this. That's it. that's kind of where I am when it comes to a lot of those things. And that's just fine. Like, my job coach from Flatiron said something that really stuck to my head. She says, everybody's cooking, and you are not going to be the right ingredient for everybody. You're going to fit one place, and that one place is what you're looking for. So I've literally gotten no's from one company that has so many departments that I've been refused twice, and they're like, we're throwing you in there again. And I'm like, okay.
I like that metaphor. I'm adding it to my metaphor collection. Is it a metaphor or an analogy? I think it's similar.
It's an English saying that means something else. We don't care what tone you title it.
Fair enough.
Okay, so along with that job search thing, when you're looking for jobs, do you have an ideal job in mind, or is this I am just looking for work? Because I'm curious, like, what does Narando's ideal job look like?
I work from Wednesdays to Fridays, 2 hours a day, and you pay me $500,000 just to look cute. However, for code's sake, an ideal job for me right now is using my stack, which is React and Ruby, or just JavaScript and front-end stuff while teaching, like, it teaches me other stuff. So it's a level 1.5 Ruby React developer, or you want to throw me into the JavaScript stack, understanding that I can learn it. And it's like, I've had good team experiences and I've had bad team experiences, and it's like having the ability to like go to somebody and go, I don't get what's going on. So like, that's what I'm looking for now. So I just have to be able to like go through everything and just keep going. But that's like somewhere where my learning potential and abilities there, where I can, like, I have the track record to show that I can build stuff. But also to understand that, look, he's still growing. But I also have other skills, which is, like somebody said, socialization as a service. I'm still at them, still wrapping my head around this thing. But yeah.
And you're looking for, you know, a job. Are you looking for something where it's just code, or or something where you can use some more of your, you know, communication abilities and teaching experience, stuff like that. You know, because there's some jobs where even on a good team, your job is really going to be sitting and coding, you know. And there's some jobs, I think, where probably you're going to be doing a little more personal, you know, interpersonal work with coding. I'm just curious if that's the sort of thing you're like sifting through or you're searching for jobs, or are you...
I think for me right now, I say 1.5. So between 1.5 and 2.5, I'm going to spend a lot of time honing my craft. The trick is that I'm a social person. So between Free Code Camp, which I may step away from, but still be an active participant in, Virtual Coffee is not losing me anytime soon. So y'all life suck, because I'm going to join Mike as a hype man next. I will do more teaching. Teaching is second nature to me, because there is so much more persons who need the knowledge, who need somebody to say, hey, this is how you do this, or talk to me. So I'll still be using my social skills, but for a job, it might not be the top priority. Will I write stuff if needed? Yes. Will I be able to speak for my company if the time comes? Yes. But it might not be the priority. But eventually, I think DevRel is looking really interesting to me down the road.
That's kind of what I was wondering, if you were starting to look at any of those kinds of positions. Or if I haven't like done a job search for a long, you know, so like, I don't know if those, like, if DevRel positions, I don't even know. Are there a lot of that? Like, I don't know what the landscape looks like out there. You know, is there just like a couple that get snatched up right away all the time, or, you know,
there are close knit. I think DevRel people are close knit group. So I know a couple of them. And I talk to them from time to time about the job, but I think I want to spend more time mastering my craft first. Because to be able to speak to the code and teach the code, you have to know the code. It's like science. Like, I was a middle school science teacher for, 8.5, 9 years? I've been a science nerd since I was about 9. Mm-hmm. So I can teach science in my sleep. So I know it. So I can teach it. I need to know my craft a bit more before I'm able to say, hey, we have this new tech and this is how you use it. And yeah. So yeah,
I also think there's something valuable about people seeing you learn as you go too, though, right? Like, because sometimes it's inaccessible to watch people who know all of the answers or who get to places really quickly. And so I don't know, that's one of the things that I can appreciate about people who are live streaming their coding process, because they're working through these problems at the same time kind of that you are as you're watching them, right? And it's nice to know that, all right, this wasn't super packaged and perfect. There was a lot that went into that process. And so I do think that you can hone your craft in some way at the same time while teaching other people in a way that is really authentic, as opposed to like, oh, I've been doing this for a long time and this is how it looks, because that's just not as relatable to people who are learning for the first time.
True. I think you literally just did something that I've been trying to avoid. So I've been trying to avoid tweeting out what I'm learning every day. And you just reinforced the idea that I actually need to do it. So good luck, Twitter. Here I come.
I mean, I think it's good advice. I think writing and sharing what you're learning, even if you're not going for a DevRel, like even not to do with DevRel in general, but like you said before about how teaching helps you learn and stuff like that. And I think watching people's journeys through learning is great. It's helpful for people, and it's helpful for people to get to know you better. I feel like it's helpful for prospective employers, you know, to understand.
Yeah, that where you has...
and to understand that you are learning, and that you, you know, like, as opposed to if it's just a black box or whatever, you know, then you have to hope your resume, mm-hmm. I suppose, speaks enough, you know.
I think speaking to the whole teaching what you know, like, it came full circle to me too, is I had to help teach one of my sisters how to drive, and driving to me is one of them unfounded pleasures that I have, but explaining to her how what works was totally different. Also, I'm a fan of the whole Dresden Files book, and there's a part in there that the main character, Harry, is teaching a new wizard how to be a wizard. And he goes, it's all fun and games until you have to teach somebody something new. Because now you have to justify why you would prefer to have a conversation than curse somebody or something to that effect. And I'm like, yeah, that's all true.
I forgot about that series. I think I read the first couple and they were fun. And then I just forgot about them.
If you want, I'm not going to throw in spoilers, but Mouse is now terrifying. I love Mouse.
I'll have to swing back. I think I have.
I'm personally waiting for the next book. I have all of them.
Okay, so I think that you are always super positive about things, but I imagine that some point you have been feeling lots of challenges too, right? Like, you've made a lot of transitions, a lot of changes, you're looking for a job. So how do you stay positive through those challenges? Or like, what's your process for working through that?
I don't stay positive. Some days I have really bad days. What I do have is that over the years, I've had really good people who literally will watch out to see if something is wrong. Like, my friends know if I get too quiet, they call. So I build a network. I have family support. I have de-stressors. I have days that I turn off. It's hard. Like, job searching is hard because after a while you feel like I'm not good enough. And I've had those moments to go, I quit. I literally almost quit code twice because I've put in so much effort and time. After a while, I'm like, okay, but my support system will go over there and cry. You get 10 minutes. That's all you get. Now let's get back to work. And would you like ice cream or coffee? And I'm dead serious. I have persons like those in my life who stand up for me when I can't stand up for myself. I'm a part of a community, like virtual coffee. Like, I went quiet 2 weeks ago. And from virtual coffee, Meg went, where are you? And Mike did the hype man thing, and my couple of my other friends call, and my friend, I have a friend now who I'm helping to learn code called G. G's been my friend since, I'm 17, so a while. and she'll reach out and see if I'm okay. And my other male, I have male friends, I have female friends. We reach out and see who's what. It's never going to be easy all the time. And you just have to keep, you have to find your why. I think while we were at boot camp, two persons point this out to me. Our lecturer back then, his name is Britt Butler. I think he's at Calendly right now. He pointed out that why you are doing this is way more important than how fast or how much you learn. Because when I failed my mod one, he goes, you just need more time. I thought this is a giant mistake and I don't know how to do this. He goes, you just need more time. So sometimes you need more time. Sometimes you're having something else that's hindering what's going on. Sometimes you just need somebody to like, you need a hype man or a hype person or a mantra or like affirmations. I'm old school, so I will go pray. I will go walk. I'm like, okay, how do I do this now? But support system and you literally finding your why. The other person who literally highlight all of this was, I remember I was taking a train with my batchmate then, Keisha. Keisha would read a book called Grit by Angela. I think her name is Butterfield or Butterwort or something. I can't remember. And I listened to the podcast for it, and it was basically understanding that everything you've ever wanted to do is doable. You just have to break them down. So no, you don't have good days. You don't have it great. I'm not always super positive. Sometimes I have bad days, but I've taken time to build a support system. That's it.
I think that's such great advice. And I think that's the thing that nobody kind of teaches you in school, right? These are the subjects and this is how you learn them. But having that support system is so key to being able to keep moving forward. And I was having a rough day the other day and somebody in my mom's in tech Slack group DM'd me and just out of nowhere, just to, you know, provide an affirmation about what I was doing. I was like, you don't even realize how much I needed that today. But it's such an undervalued thing. And you do it for so many people too. I mean, any conversation I have with you is a good conversation. And I always feel happy after I've seen you, even if it's for like 3 seconds in the big the big Zoom room or whatever. But it's always great to have you. And I'm glad that you have a support system that's able to take care of you and that you're open to talking about that with us.
I don't know how much time we got left, but two things you just mentioned. Please don't ever get me started on talking about how horrible school equipped us all for surviving as adults, because you teach me math and not taxes. I'm upset. Or support systems. Like, stuff like that bothers me. But also, like, a lot of us keep not understanding that sometimes you just need to reach out to people. Like, yeah, just reach out. Because you don't know how much you save them. Like, you don't.
Yeah. I like that. Somebody else just said the same kind of thing. I think it was Gant was saying, just if you like a tweet even, or something was meaningful, or a blog post, just, you know, just like send them a message, send a quick one sentence, you know, I really like this thing that you wrote, you know, or I don't know. I think that's important too. It's something I don't know, forget to do or struggle with doing. And, but it's right. When it comes out of nowhere, it's, I don't know. It's always nice to hear, you know, good things, from people, from your friends.
Well, Naranda, this has been really great. We appreciate you sharing with us, and we look forward to seeing you at Virtual Coffee in the future. So thanks so much for being here.
Thanks, Naranda.
No problem, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Have a good day.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Virtual Coffee Podcast. This episode was produced by Dan Ott and Becca Harrott-Weigel and edited by Dan Ott. If you have questions or comments, you can hit us up on Twitter at virtualcoffee.io, or you can email us at podcast@virtualcoffee.io. You can find the show notes, plus you can sign up for our newsletter to find out what Virtual Coffee's been up to on our website at virtualcoffee.io.
Please subscribe to our podcast and be sure to leave us a review. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.